The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. This will also serve as our sermon text this morning. Jesus said in his continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its flavor, how will it become salty again? Then it is no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a stand and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in people's presence so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not even the smallest letter or even part of a letter will in any way pass away from the law until everything is fulfilled. So whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, I tell you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and experts in the law, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God for our special meditation this morning are several verses from that reading, gospel reading we heard moments ago from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Here again, just verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine in people's presence so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This is God's word. We pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, living in the light of our Savior, in the opening chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we hear how God created everything on earth and in the heavens in just 6 ordinary days. About day 4, we're told, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky." And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. God set these lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light for the earth. Well, those 2 great lights we hear about are the sun and the moon. We know that. We also know something else. That is that, in fact, technically speaking, only one of those 2 is actually a source of light. Our sun is a middle-sized star made up mainly of hydrogen and helium. And at any given moment, it produces roughly 38 octillion lumens. That's 38 with 27 zeros following it. Compare that to the typical lamp in your home that probably emits about 800 lumens. That's 8 with 2 zeros following it. On the other hand, the moon is just a tiny satellite orbiting our planet. It is 500 times smaller than our sun. It's made up entirely of cold, lifeless rock, and it produces absolutely no light at all. Now, I'm not trying to say that Genesis is wrong. What Scripture tells us is that God made our sun and our moon to provide light for the earth, and working together, the sun and moon do just that. But that big rock, our moon, can only provide light through the process of reflection. Rather like a big mirror, the moon reflects the light that shines on it from the sun. And truthfully, the moon is a pretty dirty, smudged up, foggy mirror. It only reflects about 10 to 12% of the sun's light that hits it. And yet, at night, when the moon is full, well, I think we've all been out at nights where the moon seemed to shine so brightly that you could see without squinting, you could walk without stumbling. In fact, if you believe singer Doris Day from back in the 1940s, you could even spoon and croon love's sweet tune by the light of the silvery moon. What a marvel of creation that God could make a lump of rock able to provide light just by reflecting it. In these verses from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount that we are considering this morning, Jesus teaches us something even more marvelous. He tells us that we, who are blessed to call ourselves disciples of Christ, we, grace-born believers, we are light providers too. God makes each of you a light in this dark world by allowing you to reflect the light of Jesus. And this morning, God wants you to know your light matters. It matters because of where it shines, and it matters because of the one who shines through it. Your light matters. All right, here's the first thing to notice about Jesus' words before us in Matthew's gospel. In all his talk here about light, notice, darkness never comes up. Light for the world, yes. Light on a hill, light that shines for other people. That's what Jesus is talking about. Darkness, he never mentions. It's because Jesus knows that we sinful humans don't need to be told about darkness. Darkness we know only too well. We understand it because we live in a dark world. Early this morning, I took a moment to check the news in the current headlines. The top stories were these: the continued anti-ICE violence in the streets of Minneapolis, increased saber rattling between the United States and Iran, debates over the legality of gender reassignment surgery for children, the kidnapping of a TV host's 84-year-old mother, and a fresh spew of revelations from the notorious Epstein files. Yuck. And this is just an average day. The grim night of sin and the shadow of death fall heavy on our world. We know it so well that we're seldom surprised when we hear it, seldom shocked. We know the darkness because of the world where we live, and we know it because of the people we are. Indeed, what may shock us even more than the darkness we see around us is the darkness we sense inside us. Our own capacity for meanness and pettiness and selfishness. Our knee-jerk reflex to reach for criticisms before compliments and lies before the truth. Our willingness to speak out or even strike out cruelly even against those we love. Our inability to see the good in others we meet, or to find the joy in a common day. These dark realities about ourselves can weigh us down, can make us sad. Some days they threaten even to eclipse the light that shines in our lives. Yes, we know darkness. And our God knows that about us. Yet he refuses to abandon us to the shadows. He will not leave this world lost in the dark. Oh, God changed everything in the beginning when he spoke out of darkness to command, "Let there be light." He did that at the beginning of time. And God changed everything again in the fullness of time when he sent his Son as a new source of light for this sinful world. In his gospel, John was inspired to write, "The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world." And we know the light that John was writing about. We've heard Jesus himself proclaim, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We know the light. Yes, this world can be a dark, dark place, but not because it lacks a source of illumination. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. But God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowing the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ." Maybe for you, it was when you were still an infant and your parents brought you to the font where the waters of baptism first washed away all your sins. Maybe it was when a teacher in elementary school or Sunday school showed you a picture of Jesus on the cross and told you he did that for you. Maybe it was when your significant other explained why Jesus is the light of her life and how he could be a light in your life as well. Somewhere, somehow, through his gospel, God graciously struck the spark of faith in your hearts and kindled the light that now shines in you, that light of knowing the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't always feel it. We won't always see it in ourselves. But because of our God and because of his grace, we can know it. Because of Jesus and because of his gospel, we can be sure of it. The light does shine in us. And so Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Well, Jesus is the true light, the everlasting light, but we are reflectors. It's precisely why God leaves us in this world. Haven't you ever wondered why God has us still hanging around here? Why not just call us to faith and then call us home to heaven? Why leave us here in this dark world, pastured by endless temptations and assaults on our faith that threaten to snuff our light out? Why? It's because your light matters. Robert Louis Stevenson was a 19th century British author known for writing imaginative adventures like Treasure Island. But as a boy, he suffered from asthma and rheumatic fever and had to spend long months cooped up in his bedroom with only his imagination to free him. It's said that one wintry night, his nurse walked into Robert's room and saw the boy with his nose pressed up against the frosty pane of his bedroom window. "Get away from there," she fussed. "You're going to catch your death of cold." But he didn't budge. He sat mesmerized, watching out the window as an old lamplighter slowly moved down the street, carefully lighting each gas street light one by one. "Come," the boy cried. "Look, there's a man outside poking holes in the darkness." Friends, that is how Jesus would use you and me, to poke holes in the darkness of this world. And we do that by being the people that God's grace makes of us. Jesus says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hid." You've probably seen that. You probably found yourself driving down a dark highway at night toward a city. But before you even reach the city limits, in advance of that, you can see the lights of the city glowing up into the night sky. Well, no one in the city planned for that to happen. The citizens just turned on their lights so that they could go about their normal lives. They were just being who they were. And yet you could see their lights shining nonetheless. Well, that's what Jesus teaches us. Poking holes in the darkness of this world doesn't mean we need to wear our religion on our sleeves or we have to constantly be pushing our faith into other people's faces. It does mean not going out of our way to hide who and what God's grace makes of us. Jesus points out the silliness of such hiding. He says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." We may well be tempted to put a bowl over our light, to hide our true Christian selves. We think if we talk the way the world talks, if we laugh at what the world laughs at, if we behave as the world behaves, we'll get less grief, we'll have fewer problems. Maybe so, but we will also reflect less light. That's not why we're here. That's not our Savior's intention for us. He led the Apostle Paul to write to the Ephesians, "You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." How? Paul goes on, "The fruit of the light is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them." Dear friends, life needs light. If you can't remember what photosynthesis is from your grade school science classes, Google it when you get home. It will remind you that without the sun's light working on green plants on this planet, our atmosphere would lack oxygen and all life on Earth would cease to be. It's the way God made things. And what's true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. Life needs light. And God intends for us to to shine it. So your light really does matter, not just because where it shines, but also and most especially because of the one who shines through it. When you were a child, did you perhaps learn a little song about your light? In Sunday school or vacation Bible school or at a Christian summer camp, were you taught to sing about this little light of mine and how you ought to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine? It's a simple song, one that can be fun for children to sing, but sometimes I fear it is misunderstood. It makes letting our light shine sound like something we decide to do. That's not right. We can't choose to let our light shine any more than the moon can choose to let its light shine, because the moon doesn't have any light. Neither do we. What the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. S-U-N. And what God's great grace blesses us to do is to reflect the light of the sun. S-O-N. We can decide to do things that the world thinks are bright and good. We can be helpful neighbors, good bosses and employees, generous supporters of charities. Doing things like that may make us friends, may earn us praises. But that's not what our Lord Jesus is talking about when he urges, let your light shine in people's presence. You see, good works that only gain us praise do not shine a useful light for anybody. No, Jesus urges us to reflect Christ's light so that people see the things we are and the things we do in ways that lead them to give glory to our Heavenly Father. And that means others need to see what we do and judge how we live against the backdrop of our Christian faith. And that can only happen when, as Paul wrote, we live as children of light. When we stop trying so hard to look like the children of this world, so that people can actually notice that what we really are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Maybe we do that by setting aside time to carefully study God's Word so that the light of Christ we reflect shines from us clearly and accurately. Maybe we do it by letting folks see that our number one family priority on Wednesdays during Lent and on Sunday mornings all through the year is to gather here in God's house to worship the world's one true light. Maybe we do it by claiming for our children the blessings of attending a Christian school with Christian teachers and Christian classmates and a Christian curriculum. And by being sure to assure our friends and neighbors that those blessings are far more valuable than bigger sports programs or cheaper tuition rates. Maybe we do it by letting words like sin, grace, faith, forgiveness, and the name of Jesus Christ flow freely and comfortably in our daily conversations. Maybe we live as children of light by caring a bit less about what people think of us and caring a bit more about what they think of the Savior who may be introducing himself through us. Brothers and sisters, your light matters. Yes, like the moon, yours is only a reflected light. But the light of Christ that God graciously allows you to reflect is the one and only thing that can shine through the darkness of this sin-spoiled world and light up the path that leads to the eternal life that Jesus provides for all who trust in Him. Your life matters because our gracious God has promised to use it to swell the ranks of those who will join us in that shining communion of saints gathered in heaven to glorify our Father forevermore. So, fellow Christians, let your light shine. Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.